you'd rather hear John Lennon than me anyway, right? Okay, we're starting to fade out now, and I'm starting to talk, take over the show. This is talk radio after all, although I would like to host a music show as well. I think there's probably some room for a good 9/11 truth, unorthodox political view type music show, and so I will be having one of those someday, I guess. But for now, we're stuck with talk radio, and you're going to have to listen to me talk for 2 hours. Fortunately for you, I'll be bringing on some other folks to share the burdens and to add a little contrast to what you hear. Well, my first hour guest is somebody from a very important place. That is New York City, a place that was attacked so treasonously on September 11th, 2001. A lot of New Yorkers have kind of taken it lying down, unfortunately. There was a poll way back in, I believe it was 2004, that showed that half of the people of New York believed that top U.S. leaders had either perpetrated the attacks themselves or let them happen on purpose. That's a pretty horrible thing for half the people of New York to have to think, and yet so many of them are still taking it lying down, but not all of them. There are some brave New Yorkers who are standing up and trying to do something about this outrage, and I've been privileged to join those folks during the last two anniversaries of 9/11. I've been out there with New York 9/11truth.org 2 years in a row. This year, I won't be able to make it, unfortunately. I am booked, fortunately or unfortunately. Fortunately for me, I have a paid lecture gig at Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I'm going to be on September 11th. I won't be able to make it to New York this year, but I've been there the last 2 years, and it's something I would highly recommend my listeners should consider going to New York to participate in those observances. And among the great people that I've met in New York are Les Jamison, who has been a driving force behind New York 9/11 Truth ever since it began. Les is one of the people who've been working on the New York City ballot initiative, which I understand has collected more than 25,000 signatures. They're getting very close to what they need to put the new 9/11 investigation on the ballot. It may not happen this year, but it should happen by next year or by the next elections. So that's always good news. That's it's a chance for a real serious investigation of 9/11, and the New York City folks are just out there doing it every day, and hats off to them, and it's my honor to bring on Les Jamison of New York City 9/11 Truth. Welcome, Les. How's it going?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin. And it's gone very well, and really appreciate you having me on today to let your audience know about the particulars here of this effort in New York City for a public referendum, basically a ballot initiative, which is something that they've done in other states, especially California, for many years. I've heard of propositions, and this is where the citizens use the power of the petition to gather a certain prescribed amount in order to get an issue onto the ballot, where then all the voters can vote one way or the other on that particular issue. So this is very unique in that it's not like you're voting for a candidate. You're voting on an issue, and by taking this effort into our own hands, we actually are participating in bottoms-up democracy, self-governance, and where we can create legislation. And I have to mention former Senator Mike Gravel, who has been the preeminent researcher and educator on this very issue. His website is nationalinitiative.us, where he has done 20 years of work and research on this. And
the initiative in general, Les, not, of course, the New York City 9/11 initiative.
Right. Exactly. And which this New York 9/11 ballot initiative is based on. And we discovered that New York City Charter has a provision for ballot initiatives, and this is what we based our effort from, and we are required to get a minimum of 30,000 signatures. Then this gets presented to the city clerk, then it gets presented to New York City Council for their deliberation, and they have to actually vote to either allow it or to veto it, in which case, with an extra 15,000 signatures, we can override their veto. And
well, that's a wonderful opportunity because, as I understand it, this investigation that this initiative would create would actually have some teeth.
This would have subpoena power.
That's the missing so far.
Exactly, exactly. That's what makes the whole difference, Kevin, here, because with subpoena power, this would have legal authority and legal recognition, because also it would become part of New York City Charter as a statute, which adds all the more, it's called the force of law. And therefore, this would have subpoena power, and if somebody were to testify and lie, they're guilty of perjury. So that's what's so incredible about this. This is the most substantial and well-structured effort yet to get to a true, authentic, comprehensive investigation, which is anything but what occurred when the government, the Bush administration, after 14 months, finally caved in and appointed and authorized a commission. So this is the most incredible thing for so many. There's several dimensions here. The fact that we, the people, are using the power of the petition and exerting our own power here to call for, in this case, a true, independent, comprehensive, fact-driven investigation, which will follow wherever the facts may lead. Now, that's why we just think that the significance of this is historic, it's unprecedented, and it's of global impact, because, of course, 9/11 was a global event. And, Kevin, here's where we're at. We, because of, the fact that this requires a mammoth effort, just a monumental effort to be out there collecting signatures, especially in the fact that this is a three-page petition, because it has to, by law, include all the provisions.
The 30,000 signatures on a three-page petition, I had to collect 1,000 signatures, actually 1,500 to be safe, to get on the ballot to run for Congress here in Wisconsin. And I know how hard that is, and that was just a matter of saying, hey, will you sign this so I can be on the ballot? And people would say, sure. But, if you make them actually look at three pages, that would take a long time.
That's it. This is complicated, unfortunately, and so it takes time. And, we're there to have to provide a little education and so forth. And so this is the fact that we've reached 27,000 as an ad hoc group, just local people, on a shoestring budget. This is being recognized from others in New York City who have done petition drives as an incredible accomplishment. And now we are continuing to go for the 30,000, then we're going to want to double that number to show that we have a mandate, that we have to have, that we can show the political forces that we have an uprising here, where the citizens of New York City and the registered voters are calling for a true 9/11 investigation, and we're basically leading the politicians. This is political pressure that must be established and then applied, and that's what we're working towards. We were hoping to have this in place by, say, 3 weeks ago, when we're going to then, if we had it, say, 2 to 3 weeks ago, we would have submitted it to try and get it on this November ballot, but we're basically out of time for this year. And, while we are disappointed in that fact, we're also realizing that it's most likely a blessing in disguise, because of the presidential election, which will be taking, the center stage and will overshadow everything. Whereas if we hold out to the next election, which I think is the mayoral election in 2009, we'll have a much greater chance for higher visibility, and also we'll have time to... Pardon me?
Which month is that in 2009?
Yeah, it'll be November of 2009, basically a year from this November. And but here's the thing, that if we reach, 45, 50, 60,000 votes, signatures, in the next several months, New York City Council will take notice of that. We can go to them and say, look what we have here. We have a mandate. If we get media, also if we get organizations, a union or two, and a coalition of organizations, not only in New York but around the country, to say we are in support of this ballot initiative for a new 9/11 investigation, guess what? New York City Council can then take it on their own prerogative to present this, vote on it, and establish this commission for a new 9/11 investigation. So anything is possible. We may not have to wait another year, but if we do, you know, and this is something that we have to look at.
Yeah, it sounds good. Are you going to lobby the city council to see if you can get them to do that?
Yes. Yes, we can. Well, no, let me back up on that. We cannot lobby city council as an organization because there are strict lobbying rules, and you have to be registered as a lobbyist. It costs money to do that, so we have to be clear that we are not able to lobby. But we can individually approach city council members and inform them about this initiative, and you know, any citizen can alert their city council member of their desire to see this take place. So that would be the route to take.
Sure. Oh. Mm-hmm. Hi, Les. You still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I heard something breaking in. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, it sounds like either way, whether you get city council to pick it up or whether you can put it through the signatures next year, that'll be great. Yeah, hi. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Somebody who's in the line?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you hang up, please? This is an interview.
Okay, sorry about that.
I don't know why. Yeah.
It was on this end. In any case, though, this looks really promising, Les. It's terrific that you've done this much work. How many people have been involved?
Several dozen, two, three dozen have been involved on an ongoing basis. And then also we did get some funding in the last, well, say since June, that enabled us to hire some petitioners. And that's when we really ramped things up. We had some days, Kevin, where we got like a 1,000 in a day. And other days we had like 600-700 in a day. And that's why funding is so important. That's one of the things I want to mention to the audience here is going forward, you know, this is a political campaign just like any other candidate running for any office, where funding is absolutely essential to succeed, because we need to not only pay staff but take out advertisements for, you know, for instance, $20,000 we can get on New York local the local news network for a 2-week blitz of ads and so forth. You know, we can do print and radio and TV advertising and so forth. You know, the thing that gets me is the presidential candidates raise hundreds of millions of dollars on these campaigns, but they will never bring about a real authentic investigation of the most consequential event of our time that has impacted every minute and every second of our lives since that fateful day almost 7 years ago. But this campaign, the NYC 9/11 ballot initiative, will. And with the proper support, funding, and work and effort behind it, you know, this nothing can touch this. So we're asking people to go to our website, nyc911initiative.org, which I'll repeat. It's nyc911initiative.org. And please donate whatever you can. And I think if 20,000 people, we need 20,000 people around the country who care about this, even to donate $25, which is the cost of an average meal for two, that would definitely create, help us create.
This is a radio interview. Sorry. Huh? Excuse me, this is a radio interview. Please get off the line.
Computer.
Please get off the line. Okay, let's.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Sure.
So people can donate to this at nyc911initiative.org?
Correct. And help to make this a reality. Because we're serious, folks. We have the people that will put in the time and the effort, and we have the organization, we have the skills, we have great chemistry. And matter of fact, on our website, on the right side, there will be a link where you can go to see photos of petitioning. And also some other links. All right, it'd be great to say who's some of the high-profile people who are supporting the initiative. Jesse Ventura,
Ralph Nader, Dan Ellsberg, Karen Johnson from Arizona, Congress, the Senate in Arizona, and many others.
Great start. We'll talk about them and some more when we come back. We'll also have another guest, Chris Burke, working on the same issues. So stick around. This is Kevin Barrett on Truth Behead Radio, talking with Les Jamison. We'll be right back.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network.
Time to come together and push through the New York City 9/11 ballot initiative. This is Kevin Barrett on Truth Jihad Radio, and I'm talking today with Les Jamison. He's with New York 9/11 Truth. That's NYC911truth.org. And we're talking about this ballot initiative, which with 30,000 plus signatures and or support from the city council could get us a new 9/11 investigation with full subpoena powers. And before the break, we were talking about how it is supported by a number of well-known folks, including Jesse Ventura, Ralph Nader, Mike Gravel, the hip-hop singer Arrested Development, one of my favorite musical artists, and a whole lot more people. What, Christine Ebersole? Who else?
Let's see. Daniel Ellsberg is another one.
Okay,
and
Ellsberg.
Ray McGovern. Former CIA analyst, also former NSA analyst Wayne Madsen, and Karen Kwiatkowski, formerly of the Pentagon.
Right, the intelligence community and the Pentagon is even represented.
Absolutely. These are people who recognize the incredible legitimacy of this effort, the way it's structured, and the fact that this is the most viable effort that they've seen towards getting a new investigation of 9/11, which they all agree must take place. So this is something that everybody should recognize, and has more reason to get behind this effort. And I might add that Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com, he's, again, former NSA analyst who left the agency, became a whistleblower and investigative reporter, told us a few months ago at an event in New York City, says that he knows people within the agencies now that would testify about what they know about 9/11 if they just had the proper venue to do so. Isn't that amazing that he knows?
That is amazing, and it doesn't surprise me though. Frankly, Les, I've figured there were a lot of people like that ever since I started studying 9/11 back in 2003. I mean, it's obvious these people working for a national security establishment are not all a bunch of traitors. The vast majority of them are good, patriotic Americans who don't like what's been going on in this country any better than we do.
Exactly, and that's why this effort is so important, Kevin, and that's why, you know, and I've felt this for many years now, too, in agreement with what you just said, that there are a great many people within the government and the military that are patriotic Americans who believe in the principles, the highest principles that this nation was founded on and so forth, and yet and they're appalled by what they've seen transpire. In the last, especially since the year 2000, the first stolen election and everything that happened since. But they are powerless on their own to do anything about it because of, the fact that they would jeopardize their positions, their family, their livelihood and everything else. So what that means, folks, is it's up to us. It's up to the citizenship here in the United States. They're waiting. The people that we're referring to in government circles are waiting on us to create the mandate, to create an uprising, an upsurge here of demand for truth and accountability, because when you see 9/11 as a in a historical context, we know that this is one in a long history of events that was used to launch war and imperial aggressions. We also, you know, see on its very face the incredible implausibility of the official account of 9/11 being, you know, bin Laden and these 19 young Arabs who are amateur pilots at best, with box cutters perpetrating this, monumental undertaking, this huge and highly complex operation. And then most recently, you know, the report on Building 7 that was just released on Thursday by National Institute of Standards and Technology, and their pronouncement said fire caused office fires caused the total catastrophic collapse in free fall speed, 6.5 seconds of a 47-story steel frame concrete building. So,
that kind of seals the deal, doesn't it, Les? I mean, before this report, some of the people who were trying to pull the wool over our eyes and, you know, throw sand and in our faces and blow smoke, they were telling us that damage to the building and this huge amount of diesel fuel stored in the basement did it. And that was superficially plausible to people who hadn't studied it. But now NIST has admitted that that's not the case. And all they can blame it on is ordinary office fires, which they can't even explain how these fires even started if it wasn't arson. It's really reached the point where I think anybody that you know, spends a few hours educating themselves on Building 7 is going to walk away with the obvious conclusion that this was controlled demolition.
Yes, absolutely. And all you have to do is, you know, watch the footage a few times, especially if you see it in contrast with commercial demolitions that you see in, like, Las Vegas and other, you know, big stadiums around the country, and then they match each other. I'm sure you've seen those, Kevin. They're identical. The other thing that
crimping the roof line, you know, crimping the roof line as it starts to pull inward to avoid damaging neighboring buildings, and all those floors just descend at once, you know, at free fall speed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no physical way that could happen by accident.
No way. And they're saying that the fire damaged this one beam that basically triggered off this whole event, you know, resulting in the top of the roof, in the penthouse structure on the top first, you know, caving in on itself, and then the rest of the building. And then they cannot explain the nice, in their words, tidy pile of rubble in its own footprint.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really skilled demolition. I mean, it's, you know, the tallest building ever taken down with controlled demolition. And it was straight down, but absolutely minimal damage to the neighboring buildings. And, you know, I guess, Les, you and I, if we need to raise money for the ballot initiative, we could start a new demolition company called Wastebasket Fire Demolition Company. You know, you get in there, you start a couple of wastebasket fires, and, you know, run like heck, and it's going to come straight down. You know,
right.
That'd be a lot cheaper than paying millions of dollars for explosive experts to come in and spend months planning out and wiring their buildings to take.
Exactly. Yes, it's so true. So, again, we want to urge everybody to go to our website at nyc911initiative.org. You can see all the background of what we're doing, the commissioners, the slate of commissioners that we have, the fact that we have a family member, Lori Van Auken, one of the Jersey girls, who has agreed to serve as a commissioner, and the other highly respected, high-stature people. And this...
So who are the other potential commissioners, Les?
William Pepper, international attorney, and he's also the man who... He reinvestigated the Martin Luther King assassination at the behest of the King family.
And he did a great job. His integrity is at this point unquestionable. He'll definitely go wherever the truth leads. Look what he did with the Martin Luther King case.
Absolutely. And, yeah, he's been an invaluable participant here. He's a man of incredible courage and integrity. Also, we have... actor Ed Asner, who's, of course, a man who's been courageous in speaking out for truth. We have Roman Catholic Bishop Thomas Gumbleton. We have
let's finish that list and we'll come back after the break.
Absolutely.
Okay. Kevin Dara here with Les Jamison of New York City, 911truth.org, talking about the ballot initiative, NYC 911 initiative.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back, Kevin Barrett. Today we're talking about the New York City 9/11 ballot initiative, one of our best hopes, perhaps the best hope, of getting a real 9/11 investigation with subpoena power. They have 27,000 signatures. They need 30,000 good ones, which means a little more than that in reality, to get that on the ballot. Shooting for next year, unless the city council steps in and puts it on the ballot this year. It's a great, inspiring story, and people really need to help out with this effort. And Les, you were just talking about the various potential commissioners.
Yes. In addition, we have two former senators, Democrat and Republican, which is great. Former Senator Mike Gravel, who has been a staunch supporter of this whole effort. And matter of fact, we actually had him on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman in July. And then also we have Lincoln Chafee, former senator from Rhode Island, a Republican, and also Ralph Schoenman, who's got a show on the Pacifica station in New York named Taking Aim, and takingaimradio.com is his website. It has a vast archive of incredible research. So, we have Edgar Mitchell, former Apollo 14 astronaut, one of the eight men to have walked on the moon. And he's a physicist by training, so he's our scientist as well.
Well, that sounds like a terrific panel.
Yeah.
If you're taking, if Ralph Schoenman means you're taking a radio host, I need a job, although I may get elected to Congress this fall. But, yeah, that's terrific. It should be, if you can actually impanel those people and give them subpoena power, I think we're in business. Hey, is Chris Burke on the line yet?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, okay, Les, can you introduce Chris for our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. Well, with pleasure. Chris is a fellow New Yorker. We were out petitioning in Union Square a few months back, and he saw us with our banner and our petitions, and we struck up a great conversation, and he shared with us that he was directly affected as anyone can be on the day of 9/11. He was there. He's was employee of Cantor Fitzgerald, as was his younger brother, who lost his life that day. And Chris has been another staunch supporter of our efforts since that day. He's petitioned with us, and it's been great to have his energy and support. And also, he's spoken for us at various events. And I think he's very excited with where we're at this point, and continues to be a great asset and also advisor to what we're doing.
Well, that's very kind of you, Les. I appreciate that. I don't know what value I bring to the table that isn't already there, that you've already created for this city, for this country, and certainly for 9/11 family members who certainly are aching for something that passes for truth.
So, Chris, are the family members organized formally or informally in any way to help this?
Formally, no. Informally, I'll be honest with you, it's a slow process because you can only imagine the realities that we're talking about here, how they affect 9/11 family members. The thought that who is being suggested here is behind this, who could actually be behind it, is a bitter, bitter pill to swallow for 9/11 family members. But by the same token, it's family members themselves who have looked incredibly carefully at what happened on that day, and it's 9/11 family members, I don't want to say more than anyone else, but certainly central to the story, that have begun to question some of the things we're being told.
Well, that's right. If it wasn't for the family members, there wouldn't be any. There would never have been a 9/11 commission, and we wouldn't now have that that pile of rubbish to hold up to the world and say, "Look, this was not a real investigation."
Exactly, that's exactly correct. And as painful as it is, the only thing more painful than the truth is the lie that's being pushed upon us.
Well, that's right. You know, and the reason that ordinary Americans can't face this, you know, they find it so hard to bring themselves to really doing something about this, is it's just so painful. You know, 9/11 was so painful the first time, and having to relive all that pain and then, you know, seeing that the culprits may be closer to home than we thought then, that's too much for most people to bear. And I can only imagine how much worse that would have to be for family members.
Well, it is difficult, but again, I mean, at the risk of repeating myself, what's really difficult is the lie and the retelling of the lie. Because, look, when you operate under a reasonable man theory, some of the things we're being told here, you know, that dog don't hunt, if you know what I mean. And listen, the family members, we're not stupid, and neither are Americans. And, you know, it may take some time. It's been 7 years since 9/11. But, you know, 7 years after the Kennedy assassination, for example, it was only the quote-unquote crazy people who thought that there was, a conspiracy involved there. Today, thanks to a second commission involved in the Kennedy assassination, it's only the crazy people who believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. So these things take time, and we understand that. And time, I believe, is on our side, because if you've watched the process just in the short amount of time that I've watched it, and you've watched the structural engineers and politicians begin to come out of the woodwork, come out of their safe hiding places, and get behind the truth, you see that this is becoming a snowball, a juggernaut in the right direction, a juggernaut for truth.
Well, you know, the public opinion definitely seems to be swinging in the right direction. You know, just yesterday, I was on Wisconsin Public Radio with a host named Joy Cardine, who absolutely does not like 9/11 truth. She, you know, people call in and ask us to bring it up, and she hangs up on them. But she was kind of forced to have me on there because they cover the congressional races, and I'm running for Congress. So
right.
I got my half hour with her. And, you know, you could tell she was pretty uneasy. But what really seemed to sort of jolt her awake a little bit is the fact that not one caller disagreed with me. I was very hardcore about my views on 9/11 and went into them at some length. And there were a lot of calls, and every single one agreed with me. There was not one caller that had a problem with my position on 9/11. And she was kind of stunned by that, I think. In fact, she didn't take a whole bunch of the calls. She said, oh, they all just are calling in to agree with you. So that's pretty amazing. This is a Wisconsin Public Radio. It's, for the kind of wimpy liberals and, the half-aware people who are driving to work. I mean, I guess I shouldn't insult the audience there, but especially after that reaction. I don't think I would have had that reaction 2 years ago.
Well, what I think is really amazing is what we're being asked to believe. That is truly fantastic. And the more that the onion is peeled back here, and the more people take just a moment to listen and realize that, you know, for buildings to come down in that fashion was the first time in history. For NORAD to fail once, twice, three, no, four times in one morning is the first time in history. These are questions that really need to make one do more than scratch their head. I think those insurgents of power who are used to foisting these kind of lies on the American public, maybe they're getting a little fat and lazy because so much has been swallowed, so much has been believed, that they thought this would just go down also. But it's not going to.
Well, you know, maybe they were hoping that they would have so much success in their wars that that would tide them over. You know, Roosevelt kind of got away with letting those 2,000 sailors get killed at Pearl Harbor because, well, that we were victorious in that war. And in retrospect, it seemed like it may have been a war worth fighting. But in this case, this series of wars that these people led us into are complete disasters, and they don't seem to be wars that were worth fighting. They certainly are not just wars. And I think that's partly contributing to this atmosphere of willingness to reexamine 9/11.
Without any doubt. And, you know, it's not lost on me that I'm talking on an Internet-based radio station here. The Internet has had a huge effect on these kind of things because of the amount of information that's available at our fingertips that could, in times past, be easily stored away.
Well, that's right. Between the websites and Internet talk radio, the fabulous We the People radio network that we're on right now, cutting-edge activist talk radio, we're changing the world. All right,
absolutely.
We'll be changing the world some more. Kevin Barrett talking with 9/11 Ballot Initiative supporter and family member Chris Burke. And
educational, inspirational, constitutional. You're listening to We the People Radio Network. We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio. You're listening to We the People Radio Network. Today I'm talking about 9/11 activism in New York City, a city that was so treasonously attacked on September 11th, 2001, with some people who are not just laying down for that. They're standing up and demanding justice. It's Les Jamison of New York City, 911truth.org, and Chris Burke. He's a family member and a supporter of the New York City 9/11 Ballot Initiative, which is on the web at nyc911initiative.org. Les, I just wondered what's up this September 11th in New York City. I won't be able to make it this time. I've been there the last 2 years, and a lot of people from around the country, 9/11 Truth supporters, tend to come to New York on the anniversary. What's going to be happening there this year?
We will be having a press conference. It's tentatively 3 o'clock in front of St. Mark's Church. We'll have this up on the websites, nyc911initiative.org, and with full details. And then we're going to just be doing what we feel is the most valuable way to spend that day, which is to be out educating people in the general public as well as telling them about the ballot initiative and getting signatures. This is so important because I just got to tell you from direct experience, hundreds of days this year petitioning, that there's still far too much lack of awareness amongst the public because, they're controlled by their information intake is controlled by corporate media, and they're just not getting as much information and facts. Their critical thinking is not as developed as it needs to be. So we need to, one of the most important things we need to be doing is out there educating the public and getting signatures for this initiative to prove.
To educate the public. People often go out and do visibility actions, handing out DVDs, talking
right.
to folks. And getting signatures on a petition is a real good excuse to get out and talk to people.
Yes, absolutely so. Plus, it's an amazing experience. We meet so many incredible people like Chris and others and many people who are affected directly, whether they lost a loved one or they were sickened by the environmental fallout, which, I want to mention that that's a very much an integral aspect of this effort for a new investigation. As hopefully people realize, throughout the country, thousands, tens of thousands of people were exposed to toxic clouds of astronomical levels of chemicals and toxins in the air that day and in the weeks after. Also, residents and people who work in that area. And, over 300 people, I believe, have died so far, and probably thousands more will. So,
without a doubt.
Yep. And so Clause 9 of the petition speaks directly to seeking remedy for the thousands of people who were adversely affected health-wise, financially, and psychologically from the attacks.
And, of course, the government has done a horrible job there as well. Not only did Christine Todd Whitman tell people the air was safe to breathe and thereby contribute to some of this illness, but then the government has been very, very slow to take any kind of financial responsibility for the health problems of these first responders and other New Yorkers.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, all the more reason why this initiative is so vital for the whole country, because everybody was impacted by the events of 9/11, and we ask people to do the following things. If you know anybody in New York City, send them to the website, urge them to download and sign the petition, urge them to also, here's one program we're doing, asking everybody to get at least a minimum of 3 signatures per week. And there's a form on the website that allows for that. It's our multiple signature form. Just 3 a week. And if thousands of people do that, you know, we're going to have 100,000 signatures here in a few months, and that's what's totally doable. And what else?
So people can people download the actual forms and get signatures and fax them in? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they can download them and then mail them in. All the instructions are right on the website, and on page 3 of the petition gives a post office box where they can mail them. And again, that website is nyc911initiative.org. And, Chris, would you like to add anything to that? What would you like to see, millions of people in New York City, voters who have a direct stake, do?
I'll tell you what. I think that the process of gathering the signatures for the petition serves an additional purpose of educating the public, because, as you just pointed out, if we're going to wait for corporate media to educate the public, we've got a long wait in front of us.
Right.
So I've seen it with my own eyes. It happened with me, and I see it every day that I'm out there, that rank-and-file New Yorkers are being converted just by simply being exposed to the truth. So the longer we collect the signatures, and if this goes on for another year, I think that's good news, because that gives us that much more ability to educate the public about what's really going on here. And once you're confronted with the truth here, which is clear as day, it's impossible to continue to swallow the story we're being spoon-fed. So I would urge, as a 9/11 family member, as a New Yorker, as an American, as a patriot, I would urge everyone listening to take just a little bit of action. Go to the website. Educate yourself. Take the next step. Get 3 signatures a week. And you know what? You can make history happen.
Well said, Chris. How did you wake up to this? It took me a couple of years. How about you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was emerging from the subway at Union Square, and I ran into a big guy by the name of Les Jameson sticking a clipboard in my face and, you know, demanding my signature. And I saw 9/11 as it was, you know, as I am a little bit involved. I took a look, and, well, I've been, you know, I'll tell you what, I had my head in the sand a little bit, just like a lot of 9/11 family members, because it's a bitter pill to swallow. But when you got guys like Les out there in a sane and calm manner, you know, not wearing the aluminum hat and laying out the truth, how could I turn away? I picked up a clipboard that very moment, started collecting signatures, and I haven't turned back doing anything I can for this organization because they're on the right track and they're on the side of truth. And for me to turn away would just be an additional tragedy. And it's, and it would be an additional tragedy for everyone listening today to not to do something. Do something. That's what I did. That's what anyone could do.
That's right. And it's so much more healthy to do something. It's like when there's a serious problem, just turning away and ignoring it. Is not psychologically healthy. Any mental health specialist or spiritual teacher will tell you that. So actually doing something productive about it is really the best way to deal with those naturally painful feelings that we're all going to have about this topic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, sunshine is the best antiseptic, they say. So let the sunshine on this issue.
And may I add that this whole exercise is indicative of what is necessary for our country to have a healthy, functional democracy. We, the people, have got to participate in just voting, you know, once every 4 years in a rigged election is not example of doing one's civic duty. No, it requires constant participation.
And vigilance.
That's right, and that the founding fathers knew that. You know, they told us, you've got a republic if you can keep it. They told us we need a revolution every generation, which that seems to be way overdue at this point. Hopefully, we can get a peaceful revolution though, just by raising people's awareness of simple truth, simple reality.
It's there for the taking. It's right in front. It's right in front of us. There for the taking.
You know, the other realization that can help bring this about is that we, the people, realize that we outnumber the forces that manipulate power and policy in this country and in our military agenda. We outnumber them a billion to one, and that's so important to constantly remind everybody about. You know why? Is because there's still so many people out there who feel like, oh, it's no use. They're too powerful. We can't make any difference. Well, that's completely opposite from the facts. We can lead. We have a powerful voice. We just have to take action and exert that power.
All right. Well, here. We've got them right where we want them. This is Kevin Darren. I'm talking with Les Jamison and Chris Burke. It's been great. Les is with New York City 911 Truth. That's NYC911Truth.org.
Actually, no. Let me make a correction. It's NY911Truth.org.
Ooh, okay.
NY911Truth.org. But the ballot initiative website is NYC911Initiative.org.
Okay, go there and help out, folks. Thank you, Les. And thank you, Chris. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back in a moment with Splitting the Sky, another rabble-rousing truth teller. So stay tuned.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.